Hey everyone, Josh here. Quick question for you. Do you like coffee? Even more important question, do you like fresh coffee? Coffee that's roasted to order and doesn't taste like the bottom of your kitchen oven? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then you need to head over to MaquanoCoffee.com and get yourself some of the best coffee there is to get. Whether you like the light roast or the dark roast, or you're feeling a little whimsical and you want to get that sample pack, Maquano Coffee Roasters has everything you need. And just when you thought this couldn't get any sweeter, make sure to use the promo code REFORMATORY to get 20% off all bagged coffee. Do yourself a favor and stop drinking bad coffee, because you know what? Life's too short for that. Head on over to MaquanoCoffee.com and use the promo code REFORMATORY to get 20% off all bagged coffee. You will not regret it. Thanks, and now on to the show.
What do you got for me?
What's wrong with you people?
I got nothing for you.
What's wrong?
Right there, that was so good.
What's going on, everyone, and welcome to the Reformatory, the podcast for the local church and by the local church, and we are your local churchmen. My name is Josh, and I am with my co-host in crime, the captain, Jack Barry. Jack, how are you enjoying your holiday, your
my
vacation
Memorial day,
your Memorial Day.
Yeah, yes. It's Memorial Day is always interesting. You know, Josh and I have talked about this quite lengthy. I experienced some situations. My son's here with me too, so we got to add him to the mix. So
we're bringing up Josh. Theo. It's like it's a Patreon ep. It's just the main.
Oh yeah. So yeah, I think. It's always tough because it's like on one side of it, it's like the people that you knew passed away in a very brutal way. At least I knew a few of them who did.
Sure.
And then it's like situations like this where it's like you're alive for a reason. You're alive to carry on their memory. Mm-hmm. You're alive to basically carry on what they would probably want to do with it. Yeah, it's Josh. with what they would want to do, which is like be with their kids or hopefully their future kids and their family. So it's stuff like that that's important. And it's also just like me being with my son on this day. Mm-hmm. Stuff like that. So I think it's very helpful. I mean, last week I was in very much like, I was telling Josh about this. I was basically doing Charles Simeon Truss stuff with scripture.
Right.
And I got one of the texts, which I took a stab at. And it was very cool to see that remembrance theme in Isaiah as well, too.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
But
that's
yeah.
awesome, dude. So, that's awesome. Yeah.
But
yeah, I worked half a day and then the boss came in and he's like, dude, it's a holiday. Why don't you just go work the rest of the day from home?
I'm
like,
or it's just super slow.
Yeah, exactly. It's slow and like no one else is open. So it's not like, you know, it's not like that's going to like that's going to do anything.
Oh, Theo.
Theo over here trying to spit some bars.
Third co-host today,
trying to spit some bars.
Oh man, well, we're gonna talk about some important stuff today, Jack, but before we do, my friend, you know what time it is. It's time for everyone's favorite addition to the podcast. It is time for Don't Forget. That's right, Theo, don't forget to eat your instant grams.
And now's the time you've all been waiting for. The Reformatory Podcast presents Don't Forget to Eat Your Instant Grams with your host, Josh Loftus and Jack Barry. And remember, kids, it's not heresy if you believe it hard enough.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen, it is time for Don't Forget to Eat Your Instant Grams. It's not heresy if you believe it hard enough, right? That's the going rule, Jack. Jack, today we are... It's cuteness overload. I'm not going to be able to do my thing if Theo is continuing to take over the show, because Theo is just too awesome.
Gosh, Thomas.
I can't. You know what it comes down to? I can't compete with Theo. I can't. You get Theo on the radio. Everyone wants to listen to Theo. That's how it works. Well, Jack, speaking of small children, all right, okay. I am going to introduce you to a couple choice selections that encompass my childhood. All right, my Christian upbringing. All right, that's something you and I have that we don't have in common, is that you were not raised in the Christian sphere. So
true,
you're not very aware of all of the Christian, let's say, avenues for entertainment that we had. Our options. All right, our options. Whereas Jack, you were being raised on, you know,
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, X-Men, Batman the Animated Series.
Yes. Exactly. We were being raised on charismatic Christian puppet shows.
Oh my God.
Here you go.
I want to parachute into a faraway jungle somewhere and tell the cannibals about Jesus. I want to risk my life, end up in a stew pot. Oh, I don't care. Of course I'd convert them all at the last minute.
What?
I want to parachute into a...
I want to end up in a stew pot?
I'll field all your questions.
End up in a stew pot? I was like, what?
I am acutely qualified to answer all of your questions about these types of...
Oh my gosh. That was just... That went really hard. And that's a little bit too hardcore for that demographic that they're trying to target.
I'm 100%. It went very quickly, right? It went left very, very quickly. So for some reason, I don't know why, the Christian, especially through the like 70s, 80s, and then it got into the 90s, there was some sort of infatuation that the Christians had with puppets. I don't know what it is. I don't know why.
They're trying to like, can maybe like redeem Jim Henson stuff.
Maybe
stuff, something along those lines.
Yeah, 100%. 100%.
Theo is color commentary today.
He's color commentating today, man. Is that so? Is that so? This podcast is going off the rails.
I know.
We might have to turn this into a potluck.
That's a gun.
You're normally not this talkative, dude. What's happening?
I don't know. You saw Josh and it was all over. So.
That's right. Let's see. So we're gonna pull up one more here. One more. You have not experienced quintessential top level Christian entertainment from the 90s unless you have been introduced to all of our favorite superhero. Bible Man.
Oh, here we go. Here we go.
Eunice, full armor sequence.
Executing full armor sequence.
Waist belt of truth.
Waist belt of truth.
Breastplate of righteousness.
Breastplate of righteousness.
Shield of faith.
Shield of faith.
Helmet of salvation.
Complete.
And the sword of the spirit.
I cannot tell you how hyped that would get us as kids when Bible Man, aka Willie Ames, okay, would go into his little portal.
Wasn't he on Charles in Charge, the way?
Oh, okay. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Just trying to remember.
Go into his little portal, and he'd get suited up, dude. He'd go into his little bat cave. He called it the Bible cave. Okay. Go into his Bible cave, and he'd get on the full armor of God, and then he'd pull out that lightsaber and do battle with evil villains. The greatest.
I can every time I hear the breastplate of righteousness, all I can hear think about is that Mexican guy who goes, "Breastplate of righteousness, oh, Jesus Christ,"
and then starts pop locking the robot.
Jesus Christ,
we love you, God.
that guy. Oh, we're gonna have to have him. Dude, we're gonna have to have him on here.
Get him on the next one.
Oh, it's so good, dude. It's so good. Yeah. All right. Well, that was the segment. Don't forget to eat your Instagrams, our new favorite segment. And as always, ladies and gentlemen, make sure to send us your entries into this new segment. We love reviewing and talking about all of the very niche evangelical videos that are out there. It's a lot of fun. So, Jack, my friend, it is time to hop into our topic today. And this is a really important one and something that I am I'm very freshly able to speak on because of a lot of very very recent study and work that I have put into putting together a policy for this things. And we are talking today about sabbaticals. What is a sabbatical? What a sabbatical is not, who it's for, and what the responsibilities of the person that's on the sabbatical are, and the church that is sending that person on sabbatical. So, I have been over the last month, been compiling a bunch of information from a bunch of very trusted men that I've reached out to put together a policy, a sabbatical policy, because at this point, Redeemer did not have one, and we're going to be sending one of our pastors on sabbatical. Has been faithfully serving the church for years and needs a break. And as we were talking about this, we kind of realized like, there's really nothing put together in regards to what a sabbatical is, what the responsibilities are. It'd probably be good if we had one of those.
Yeah.
Because of a lot of misinformation and wrong opinions that's out there regarding sabbaticals. And a lot of, I would say, handling of sabbaticals incorrectly. And it's one of those things that if a sabbatical is handled incorrectly, the intent and the purpose of the sabbatical is not going to be accomplished, right? So I threw that over to you, and you said that, yeah, we need to talk about that because you guys also have a pastor that's going to be going on or is currently on sabbatical now, right?
Correct. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, we just put our worship pastor on sabbatical. He came to us in 2020, like right in the thick of 20. I think it was March. Mm. I think he came to us March, I think the week before everything shut down.
Mm. Oh, man.
And I wasn't at the church that I'm at yet during that time, but that's when he got here. So yeah, they decided to enact this new sabbatical policy as well too. One of our other elders presented that and then said, hey, one of our pastors is going to be first to go. And then subsequently, like, I think they're going to do it like staggered that way. So yeah, I think it's really important. I think it's also really important to talk about, because I have had other people on sabbatical in which, how can I say this? I think we had one pastor who was on sabbatical who I wanted him to actually officiate our wedding and he couldn't because of the guy who was another pastor who was kind of like checking in on him is like, let's not do that. I'm like, dang it. There's stuff like that, that is like, you know, I'm sure Josh will get into this, but here's my questions that I usually ask. Can you talk to pastors when they're on the sabbatical?
Right.
What is the content of those conversations going to be?
Yeah.
Like I had just recently, my family were at the zoo at Tacoma at the Point Defiance Zoo and Aquarium. And we bumped into one of our pastors who's on sabbatical with his family. And it's like, do we talk to him? Do we interact? What do we do?
Turn the other way.
Shield your eyes.
he doesn't exist.
You know, what do we do? So I asked those questions to bring this up to Josh, because I'm sure it is fresh in his mind about how to go about this.
It is. Yeah. So basically what I think would be cool for this app is to just kind of inform our listeners. Maybe they've heard of the term sabbatical before. They really don't know what it is.
Yeah.
Or maybe, you know, they've never heard about it. Either way, I think it'd be cool to kind of go through. I'm basically using the policy that I kind of put together as kind of the template. But what's really important to understand from the get-go, and something that I have found that I have to explain to a lot of folks when talking about a sabbatical is that a sabbatical does not equal a vacation. I think a lot of people view a sabbatical as just, oh, we're giving this pastor, you know, 3 months off duties with pay, and it's like the greatest vacation ever. What a good deal for him. Ministry's the easiest. You know what I'm saying? And that's actually not true, right? And it's really important that we understand sabbaticals correctly, in that there is actually some very, I would say, poignant and specific duties that the pastor and his family, if he's married, need to be fulfilling while on sabbatical. It has a specific purpose, and that purpose is rest and renewal. Right. Yes, those are kind of the two that we kind of hold, and the different things that fall under those two categories. Right. So before we get into those, it's important to understand a sabbatical is not a vacation. They aren't just kicking their feet up on the beach, doing absolutely nothing for that time. It has a very specific purpose, a very specific timeline, and very specific intentions within that time that that person's on sabbatical. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So what's important to understand is that in the policy, something that we do is we talk about what a sabbatical is not before we talk about what it is, right? And what's important to understand is a sabbatical is not a reaction to something going wrong. Rather, it's an intentional, proactive time of rest, renewal, and soul care for the pastor and his family. The sabbatical is not disciplinary action. It's not for the purpose of finding a new job. Right? It's not a reaction to something wrong. And often I think people can think that, right? It's like, oh, we put them on sabbatical, and they equate it to like a law enforcement officer getting put on leave, suspension.
Oh my gosh.
While an investigation occurs, right? Like that's what will happen. If there's an officer involved shooting or something like that, and there's a fatality, often while that investigation is happening, that officer will be placed on leave. Right. And it's and that's not this case. A sabbatical is not a reaction to something wrong. It's actually a very proactive and beneficial thing that the church does for the care of its pastor and also for the good of them. And this is something that I know, Jack, you can speak to as well.
Yeah.
Is when the pastor is unhealthy, his ministry is unhealthy.
Yeah.
And it's actually in the church's best interest to make sure that they take great care of the physical, spiritual, and mental health of their leaders. Mm-hmm. Right? Because we've seen what happens when a pastor is functioning in a constant state of essentially burnout, right?
Yeah. 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 I would say as well, too, not only the constant state of burnout, but just the way in which I think emotionally things are going and basically hitting them to where they're hitting a wall.
Mm-hmm.
So them being in ministry is not helping anything. It's just them. It's just spinning their wheels in park. you're basically doing a literal like tire burnout, not going anywhere if you keep doing what you're doing. Plus I would like to say too, the way in which people work, pastors are taking a lot of hits, emotional hits. Like think of like your biggest HR issue that you might have in a company and multiply that by 20.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much maybe every year, maybe every month that might be the case for your local pastor. And so
sure.
I think those are key things to bring to light as well, too. So.
Well, that's a great point, man. I think it was either last ep or two eps ago, we talked about the reality of, you know, I think a lot of people don't realize that so many of the conversations, perhaps a vast majority of the conversations a pastor will have are negative.
Yeah.
Right. Absolutely. Usually people aren't bringing things to pastors that are joys or good things, right? They're usually bringing the negative things. It's usually when things are going wrong or something's falling apart or they disagree with something that was said or, or done, right? That's usually when the pastors are hearing from people. And look, yeah, that's unfortunate. I wish it wasn't like that. And we talked about the reality of how life-giving it is when someone will reach out to you, send you a text, send you an email, get together with you for the express purpose of just like encouraging you and lifting you up. Mm-hmm. That's really rare.
Yeah.
That's extremely rare in ministry, right? And when it happens, it takes us by surprise and it's very life-giving, right? Because that's a reality, sabbaticals are important. Mm-hmm. And it's important that there is a constant conversation, right, amongst the elders about the health of all of the pastors that are on that team, right? It has to be there.
I've seen something, too, that I don't know in your studies and in your research. If you have an elder on your elder team that is the pastor of pastors, so to say, is that somewhat a help, or is that completely just like that doesn't help really much at all?
Yeah.
What an actual sabbatical can do for you.
Yeah, no, that's a great question. I think so from my experience, right, having kind of a pastor to pastors, like, I think pastors need pastors, right?
Yeah.
We need that. We need those individuals that we can go to and vent and ask advice and get poured into. I think that there is benefit to having that outside of your local church, right? But what I will say is, and again, this is just speaking from experience, I know a lot of churches don't have this and it saddens me, but the reality of us elders at Redeemer is that all of us are friends. We're all very, very good friends. And because of that, we have the relationship where we can speak plainly to one another and results happen, right? Case in point, someone says something in a meeting or something like that's a little off-putting. Like it's dealt with there. You know, it said, hey, you know, I realize you might not have meant this, but that came across this way, right?
Yeah.
Or, you know, with the case with the sabbatical, you know, we looked at Pastor David and we're like, you're tired. You've been doing great, but you're tired. Yeah. You need a break. And him being like, yeah, it's true. So you need that relationship within the elder team if the elder team is going to be successful, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Right. The most successful and unified elders are friends.
Yeah, that's a good point as well, too, because Josh and I have talked about at length about this, where when the elder team is not friends and it is more of a business contractual relationship of how much I don't know how much a disservice you're doing to your people.
Absolutely.
Because if it's just that way, and this was the case of my past church, everything was not done in friendship. Everything was done in business. And it felt like that is a very big disservice to your congregation when that's done.
Yeah.
Because it just shows that church is business and that's it, versus the local church is both you're leading, but you're leading also in friendship. And right. I think you could, I don't want to be too eisegesis, but you do see the New Testament kind of pushing this at us in that direction, or at least in the direction of a familial dynamic in which Paul looks at the other elders that he's bringing up in those churches as his either spiritual sons or as some sort of co-equal in some
way. They're very close.
Or former fashion.
They're very close.
If I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
You can rebuke me if you want to as well.
No. I would say that you definitely see, like, we know from the from Acts, right? They worked together, they had all things in common, right? When you see the church being spoken of, you see it being spoken of in very familial, close terms, right? And that's something that I think needs to be emulated, especially in the elder room, right? Because like you just said, if you don't have that, you don't have, I would say, a good foundation when junk hits the fan, you're working through something hard. I can't tell you how many times our friendships with one another in our particular elder team have been the thing that the Lord used to sustain through hard conversations. It's true. And if those friendships hadn't been there, those conversations possibly would have gone differently and absolutely would have been much more difficult to have.
Yeah, I just think that that's, or even having, I just think of past church experience where that wasn't there, or you had at least, it felt like so much that the church government of a lead pastor versus everybody else, even though you had a quote unquote plurality, was still leading you to that, like that CEO mentality.
Mm-hmm.
And well, you get a, you got to get on this guy's side or else you got to get out of the way kind of mentality.
Yeah. It's so unhealthy.
Yeah, it is. It doesn't help that that was the case of Mars Hill. And that doesn't help that a lot of churches who went independent after Mars Hill, so after the implosion, that's still in their DNA.
Right.
Like Mars Hill is still in their DNA, although they changed the name and they changed the branding and they changed everything. Like at the root of it, you still have that rot. And I think that's a disservice to congregations. Mm-hmm. Although I think some congregations as well too, who were a part of X29 and stuff like that, are starting to change their tune a little bit and seeing that rot and being like, yeah, we just got to have to dig that out completely, build a new foundation.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think so.
I don't think that is, going back to connecting with sabbatical stuff.
Right.
I don't think that's a way in which you're helping your local pastors or elder either to flourish when you have those dynamics.
Yeah.
And because I feel like that's going to lead out to even more burnout in that case as well too.
100%. Absolutely agree. Yeah. There has to be a spirit and a disposition of care and love amongst the congregation and amongst the elder teams. That's what helps and makes a sabbatical successful. Right. So bringing it back to that conversation, right? Those are the things that a sabbatical is not, right? It's not a reaction to a problem. It's not some sort of disciplinary action. It's not a vacation. This isn't just us giving them a three-month vacation, right?
Yeah.
What it is, as we said at the top of the up, it's a time for rest and renewal. Okay. And why that's important is because of all the things that we just said, right? Ministry is hard. Mm-hmm. It is. It's very joyful. There's a lot of great things that come with it, but there's a lot of aspects of it that are very, very difficult, right? So when a pastor is on sabbatical, they have some expectations and the congregation has expectations, okay? One of those expectations is that the pastor is expected to not engage in any ministry work at all, right? It's time to unplug from that because you can't rest from something while you're still engaging with that thing. It's not going to work.
Yeah.
Right. So you need to unplug from ministry. Right. And you're not doing sermons. You're not doing teachings. You're not doing counseling. You're not doing church meetings. You're not engaged in elders meetings. You are completely unplugged from the pastoral duties. Right. And again, a reaction to that could often be like, oh no, what happened? It's not a bad thing. It's with the intention of resting and not engaging in the very things that you are needing rest from, right? Mm. And this is where a plurality of elders is extremely helpful and needed, is because if you didn't have that, sabbaticals are, I would say, almost impossible. They're almost impossible to have if that plurality of elders is not there.
Yeah.
Right. Because you need those other elders to come alongside and pick up the duties that main preaching pastor, who's normally the one that's on sabbatical, is fulfilling. Right.
Yeah.
So you are expected to pull away from those things, to take a break from those things. Okay. What are the things that you're supposed to be doing on sabbatical? Well, we put together, again, a compilation of some of my thoughts and then some thoughts of some very trusted men around me that I gleaned so much from and I'm so thankful for. We kind of put together this four-step process of what the pastor's job is within sabbatical. This is what we want him to be doing, right? And focusing on. First one is retreat, right? And we're good Baptists, so they're all alliterated. It's all ours. Okay. Yep. It's retreat, right? It's a complete disengagement from ministry and leadership responsibilities. Just covered that. Okay. Mm-hmm. Next one is rest. We do want there to be rest. And what we mean by that is that there's an intentional focus on the activities that recharge and bring joyful rest, right, to mm-hmm. the individual. That's what we want. We don't want you utilizing this time to, for example, get ahead on sermon prep. Yeah. Right. Or yeah. to take on a huge house project that's just going to stress you out. This is not the time for that. This yeah. is a time to be with your family, to engage in things that bring rest, that bring renewal, and bring peace to calm you down. Right. The next one is refocus. And this is something that I was really wanting to make sure that was part of our policy, is because something, Jack, that often happens with guys that take sabbaticals. Is this, they focus completely on the rest and do not focus at all on anything of fixing anything that is causing the lack of rest in their ministry, right? That it's just a time to pull away. But then if you jump right back into the same pot, and if there are things in that pot that are dysfunctional, that are not set up the way that they should be, that are not confronted, then you're going to be jumping into the exact same scenario, right? And sometimes that thing has to do with things that are within the church. More than often, that has to do with the way that you deal with things, right? Mm-hmm. So refocus, right? It's a focus on pressure points and how to identify and overcome them in their particular ministry. You got to utilize that time to see, okay, what are the things that I see in my life and my ministry that are causing this pressure? And are these things that are just unavoidable? And if they are, how do I deal with them better? Or if they are avoidable, how do we overcome those things and create either a system or a plan to better mitigate those things that are causing pressure, right? You have to be doing that. You can't yeah. just assume that, you know, everything's going to stay the same forever. If something's wrong, you got to fix it. Right. Mm-hmm. And then finally, re-entry, right? What's the Lord laying on their heart regarding the future of their ministry? There are some guys who will come off of sabbatical realizing, I don't know if I am in the role God wants me to be in. Mm. Right. And that has to be a real conversation.
Yep.
And there are other guys that come in, that come off it saying, yeah, I am refueled, recharged, ready to go. This is what the Lord has called me to do. And I feel more equipped now because of this gift that I've been given to jump right back in. And praise the Lord for that, right? But again, that's where you need to have those open conversations with your elders, because those are really, really important. Yeah.
I also have a question in regards yes. to sabbaticals. So I've heard of ways in which sometimes elder teams will rotate every 4 years. Some sure. congregations do this to where they rotate the elders.
Yeah.
Maybe it's a hot take of a policy, but what are you thinking in regards to that? Also included in sabbaticals, maybe you yeah. have like a couple like staff, maybe you have even staff pastors, and then you have like three rotational elder roles.
Mm-hmm.
How would you think about those in
so
that way?
Are you talking specifically about the policy some churches will do that you'll have your time on the elder team, and then you'll have like a year off, and then like you get back on? Is that what you're talking about?
That, or just like you are a man who's qualified to be in an elder role,
mm-hmm.
and your time on the elder team is completed for those 4 years, and you may take, you know, there may be a period of time where it's like 1, 2, 3, 4 years, and maybe you're like, hey, I'd like to, you know, put my name back in election to be another elder again on the elder team. Do you yeah. think that's out of whack in regards to sabbatical
yeah.
as well too? Or
so, dude, it's so funny that like those are I had that exact conversation with another one of my elders, because okay. that's something that we have realized a lot of churches employ, right? And what's interesting is that it's actually a very Presbyterian thing. Presbyterians will cycle their elders on and off session, okay. depending on how long they've served, right? There's reasons for it, right? Sure. You do want to avoid burnout, right? You want to avoid I think there's a lot of reasons why churches will employ a kind of cycle in, cycle out rotation mm-hmm. within their elder team. Here's what I'll say about it. I would much rather that not be a system, but a relationship.
Okay.
And that I would much rather there be the understanding and relationship among the elders that at any time, if you feel like you need a break because of maybe you're going through a really tough season, maybe you had a relative that died, maybe your wife is sick, maybe your kids are taking more time than normal and you need a break, I would much rather have the relationship with my elders where we can have that conversation and we can provide what that elder needs versus what I often saw in the Presbyterian church is you get to your point where, okay, it's my time off being an elder. I don't really want to. I really like being an elder. I really get life from it, but I have to follow this policy.
Yeah.
It always made me so sad because I'd see the guys like whose year time it was for them to take a year off.
Yeah.
And most of the time they were like, yeah, I don't really want to. I really like this. This is really life-giving for me. And
yeah, that's good perspective.
So I'd rather it be a relationship and not a system.
Okay.
And that's just, I think I tend more toward relational ways of doing things anyway. I understand the need for the system and I understand why it's there. I'd rather do it the other way.
Yeah.
You know, and have that be an open communication. Right.
Yeah.
But so again, some churches don't have that. Right. So, okay. It's beneficial. And this is going to be a spicy one. It's beneficial for at least, I would say, the beginning, if not the majority of the sabbatical, if the pastor is worshiping at another church.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, before y'all get, before I hear it right now, be like, I thought this was for the church and by the local church. You're telling people to stop gathering with their local church. That's not what I'm saying. Okay. All right. There's a very specific reason. Okay. In order for a sabbatical to be successful, it's very difficult for that to happen, especially at the beginning, for true rest to happen, if the pastor is still integrated with the place and the people that they are called to shepherd, right? Lots of reasons for that. One, they have a shepherd's heart. That's why they're there, right? They wouldn't be in that position if they did not have that quality. Shepherd's going to shepherd. If they're in the field, they're going to shepherd.
Yeah.
They can't stop, right? It's like asking a drug dog not to sniff out drugs. It's just he's going to do it naturally, right? He needs to be able to unplug and be in an environment where he gets rest.
I see.
Right? Yeah. And it's not because he doesn't love his congregation. It's because he loves his congregation that he needs to be separated because he needs that time and that availability to – you have no choice but to take a break.
Yeah.
Right?
No, that's a good, I've often questioned that sometimes in my own heart.
Yeah.
Of like, well, if they're on sabbatical, like, why don't they just keep worshiping? And then you saying that, it's like, oh, that makes, I mean, to be quite honest, I mean, you will see a lot of people, even after service, go to our pastors and imagine if a guy was on sabbatical, either he would have to duck out before we do the benediction.
Right.
So he wouldn't get, you know, harangued. I don't know about harangued is the right word or even like rushed, but just involving him back into stuff. But that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. So. And again, every church is going to decide with their own policy, with their own elders, how long that lasts. Right. But I do advocate it should at least be for the beginning portion. Right. Because you need to be able to kind of, for lack of a better term, wean the congregation off of the pastor and wean the pastor off so that rest can happen, right? Because if that pastor is supposedly on break but still readily available, that rest isn't going to happen, right? Yeah. So best case scenario, the beginning of the sabbatical, they're able to actually pull away for the sake of rest and renewal and gather with some local churches where they can just be poured into and they're not going to be expected to lead or to shepherd in any way, right? And the interaction that they will have with the congregation is left up to the discretion of that particular pastor, right? And that's something that the congregation, I think, needs to realize and support, is when that pastor's on sabbatical, part of your responsibility as a congregant is you aren't bringing church matters to them.
Yep.
You're not calling them for care. You're not asking them church function questions. You're not inserting yourself into their life for that period of time because you love them and you want to give them space and you want to give them time to rest so that when they return from sabbatical, they're going to be so much more effective in their shepherding than before they left. Right. So that's where that relationship really comes into play between the pastors and the congregation. Is you guys have to be working together to accomplish this.
Yeah.
Because if one or the other is not doing their job, they're not fulfilling their role, the sabbatical is not going to work. Right. Mm-hmm. So the pastor needs to realize we need some time to pull away to be able to rest and get what we need. Because a lot of pastors don't rest well.
Yeah.
And that's just the reality. Mm-hmm. Right. And I understand what that's like. I do not rest well. And any times that I have taken a break from ministry, I have seen how that it sounds harsh, but I don't mean it to sound as harsh as it sounds. That severing kind of needs to happen at the beginning because, like, it's so easy just to get pulled back in. It's so easy and so natural just to continue in those duties when I'm supposed to be resting, right?
Yeah.
And it doesn't work. Right. So a sabbatical needs to be very intentional, very specific, and it needs to have all parties working together for the good of the pastor and his family so that that rest can actually happen. And if those parties aren't working together, then it's not going to work.
Yeah.
Right. Mm. Right. And that does mean the congregation showing some self-control and going to the other elders when you need something. That's why there's a plurality of elders.
True.
Right. Is they are just as much pastor as the guy who preaches the majority of the time.
Mm-hmm.
So go to them, bring your things to them. Right. And the pastor that's on sabbatical, if it's going to be life-giving and joy-filled, he will reach out. They will reach out. Right. They will invite you over. They'll get together. But even when they do, it should not be for the purpose of discussing church stuff. Right. If you want to talk to them as a friend because you guys are friends, awesome. That's fantastic. Right. You ran into your pastor at the zoo. You walk up to him and say, hey, how you doing? What's going on? How's life? How's sabbatical? Is it good? Are you resting? Good, good, good. Right. That's great. Don't start being like, so-and-so is, you know, we're going to need to get them together with you guys for counsel. Or, you know, I was really thinking about that sermon that you preached. Not the time. It's not the time for that, right? They need to be able to rest well, right? Yeah. So there's a lot more that goes into that. It might actually be worth doing another ep sometime on this, but I really want to drive home not only the importance of sabbaticals for the care of your leaders, but also the intentionality that's behind them. That it's not a vacation. It's not a time for them just to, you know, like I said, put their feet up with a margarita and that's all they're doing, right? Mm-hmm. It requires intentionality and focus by the pastors and the congregation to care for that guy, to make sure that he's coming back rested and renewed and ready for the next season of ministry, right? It's important. So yeah. I hope that at least clears up some of the questions that maybe some people have from sabbaticals. Jack, do you have anything else to throw at me before we wrap up?
We could do a part two, to be quite honest.
I think we could, like, it's this kind of stuff I nerd out on. Like any, like all the, like all the ecclesiological stuff, the practical church workings, I nerd out on it like crazy. Like putting the sabbatical policy together, as boring as it sounds, was super fun. Like, it was very life-giving putting together this document. So if you guys have any questions on sabbaticals, I am now an expert. No, I'm kidding. I'm not. I'm not at all. I'm not at all. I've had a month of study and talking to guys smarter than me, so I can tell you what they said. But yeah, hope that this at least maybe caused you to appreciate your pastors a little bit more. Maybe caused you to maybe ask your elders, like, hey, do we have a policy? Do we have a way that we're making sure that you elders are getting the rest that you need? I guarantee you, if you asked one of your elders that would be such a life-giving question to receive. Like, oh, you care about me getting rest? Man, thank you. That's awesome. That's incredible, right? Yeah, that'd be pretty awesome. So we might do another ep on this. There's a lot to kind of the ins and outs of this, and like I said, I nerd out on it. But for sake of brevity and time, we're already longer than normal. So Jack, my friend, why don't you get us out of here?
If you appreciate Josh and I's takes on your local church and how to better not only help your pastors on sabbaticals, but if you care for toddler careless whispers on this podcast from my son and want to engage us more, you can hit us up on the sociables, if you will. The Instagram, first, you can drop us a DM, a question, a comment, a concern, episode idea, anything like that, to one of our channels that we have on our various Instagram sociable accounts. Gosh, my mind is just blur.
It's okay.
Which are the Facebook, if you will, the metaverse, the land of the metaverse. That is the Facebook. The Instagram goes well with chocolate or marshmallow, or the always interesting Sociable, formerly known as Twitter X. And you can hit us up at those Sociable sites at the tag at Reformatory Pod. Josh, you can tell the lovely people how they might support us on other platforms.
Yeah, that's right. There are multiple ways you can support the Reformatory. We have a YouTube. If you want to watch this episode as well as listen to it, head on over to YouTube. Type in Reformatory Podcast. Give us a like, comment, subscribe. Hit the little bell for notifications, as the kids say. That'd be fantastic. And share this episode with a friend. Maybe share this episode with one of your pastors and say, hey, thinking about you. Want you to get some rest. Maybe this will start that process. That'd be really cool. You can like this episode. You can rate and review this episode on Apple and Spotify. We ask that you do that. Helps get the podcast out to more people. Click the link in the description of this episode. Get yourself some local church merch. That'd be really cool. Last but not least, we have a Patreon. You can head on over there, and for a $5 or $5 a month, you get bonus eps, you get this ep early, you get a bunch of cool stuff. If you do that, if you choose to do so, our pledge to you is that your name shall be hallowed.
Hallowed, sir. Hallowed.
Hallowed through the halls of the podcast. That is our pledge to you. We thank you all for listening, and we will catch you on the next ep of the Reformatory.